I know many poor people. And I've been poor myself in this life. Just with the blanket in India, sleeping outside. But I felt like a king. And the poor people around me, they took so good care. And I've been living with millionaires and billionaires in America. And they were not happy. They would have a good experience to go and live 1 month in India without anything. Then maybe some life joy will come again. They would appreciate what they had. So when you have something, the whole key is to enjoy it. But suddenly you might lose it. That's how life is. And things can change very quickly. And you maybe know many people, older people, it was still war when they were little. My mother told me when the war was finished, after 5 years in Europe, so much joy. Everybody was friends. But if we're intelligent, we don't need world war just to be happy. Then we're happy from the beginning. Then we don't start war. Happy people don't start war. Pina?
Estado de bênção e essa felicidade.
State of blissfulness and that happiness.
É o nosso estado natural.
It's our natural state.
Por que é tão difícil permanecer, né?
Why it's so difficult to stay in it?
Because we're so used to being unnatural.
Because estamos acostumados a ser não naturais.
This is again the habit.
Isso outra vez o hábito.
Everything has been turned upside down. What is natural now is really unnatural. The wise doesn't work anymore there. How, why, this. It is like it is. But something happened that we got identified. As an ego. Which means separated. And the natural space where everything is like it is. Then there is a oneness, you in tune. You feel part.
Você se sente parte.
The little part feels part of some big part.
A pequena parte se sente parte da parte grande.
Then there is And if little part feels just like a little part,
se a pequena parte se apresenta como pequena parte,
then life is a struggle.
Daí a vida é uma luta.
Because little me have to do all this and how to make the right decisions.
Porque o pequeno eu tenho que fazer tudo isso, como tomar as decisões certas.
So that is, that's why we got identified with the mind, which is another word for the ego. And the mind is totally, the ego is totally separated. You feel alien. And when there is no separation, then there is rest and happiness and gratefulness. But if everybody remembers, then maybe the whole world wouldn't be as we know it. Because everybody is pushing themselves to do something and create stuff. And if you totally relaxed back into yourself, then who cares? It's more than enough. Have a glass of water and a cup of tea. So all these games wouldn't happen. But now we can have both. And that's the precious thing of being human. You can relax back to oneness and still be a part who's enjoying. So maybe it's consciousness, everything's come from consciousness, from God. Then it has to lose itself. And then coming back. That's the whole evolution. But when people accept this space as a human being, when they come home, get self-realized, then they say in the old Indian scriptures that even the gods are jealous. So let them be jealous. Just don't go back in the mud. Gods don't go in the mud. At the most, they go in a clean swimming pool. Not in the mud, but only unconscious people. It reminds me when I was at the beginning of the Ganges. The most holy river on the whole planet. They, in India, they say it's the most holy river, but if it's the most holy river in India, it must be on the whole planet. And you have to walk a few days to come to the beginning. It comes out from a glacier. And the Ganges is very special. Even the scientists, they have said this, that it's very special. It's not composed like other rivers. And Osho talked a lot about this also. He said that it was an experiment in very old days from mystics and yogis. So it stays clean. So when I came to the... I couldn't follow it anymore because it disappeared into the glacier. So nobody knows where it starts. And it was not wider, less than this room. And when it reached the ocean, it's so wide you can't look across. But in the middle it was one big rock. And I have long legs, so I managed to jump in the middle of the river. Good spot. Half under the glacier. And mucho frio. Very cold. So, blanket. Few blankets. And I just closed my eyes. And so many... whatever you want to call them. In India we say devas, is divine beings. Maybe you call angels. But divine beings is better for me. And in that area is many, many enlightened people who have been there through hundreds and thousands of years. So the whole energy is very good. And many of these spirits, holy spirits, they came, they were so happy. Somebody was there who could feel them. Because most of the Indians, they just come and they just do the ceremony and getting holy water from the beginning of the Ganges. But nobody is present. So all these devas, they were very happy. And I had a hard time to go, but I had to remember I have a body, so I will freeze to death if I stay in the night. And they had nobody, so no problem. But you get nice friends. All these people, they enjoy your company. And all these people are good friends. All the Buddhas and Lao Tzus, and not to mention they're very good. Happy family. But in India, they still have this. I don't think any other place has been so developed. So many enlightened people. That's why if you're in tune and if you're a meditator, then you can feel it, especially at some places. And some places in the Himalayas is very good. Because the normal people, they don't go there. What to do there is no business. You go to Calcutta then. And the enlightened people and the yogis and the Tibetan Rinpoches, they don't go to Calcutta. They find nice places. So it's been going on for thousands of years. Sure, at a certain point, you get help. Which is already happening. And it's good to be tired. Good tired. What? Not much. It's so good. Good tired and then have a clean bed. Yeah, it's more than enough. When I came from India, I was so tired because very long journey. And then long stop, all day I had to wait because the bus to Brazil only going in the evening, no, the plane. Because it felt like that. And very tired, waiting. But then when you come, and have a shower, and they're very good. Even though it took a few days. It's not recommended, India to Brazil in one go. It's then totally exhausted when you come. You look at the time and it's 9 o'clock. You don't know if it's 9 in the morning or evening. Somebody picks you up and you don't know if they're going to take you for dinner or breakfast. Everything is upside down. You start tuning into a nice dinner and then you get toast. You only get toast and coffee. What to do? So it takes a few days. But this is... One time I went even further, and that I never do, all the way from Bali to New York. Bali, Singapore, India, London, New York. Then by the time... And then I came to New York and somebody was going to pick me up. And she thought it was the day after. Some confusion. Because, you know, it's so many datelines. It's not only hours, you have datelines. I don't know what. But everything was upside down. And then I had to call. We are here. Oh, then panic. And maybe 3 hours to get to the airport. And by the time she came, I was just over the suitcase like a cat. It was impossible to stay awake. Just like a fat cat over the... In the middle of John F. Kennedy in New York. Then you're so tired, it's hopeless. And I got a lot of practice with being tired because sometimes when I was guarding Osho, I love to be in the night. But sometimes I was doing things because when you're young, then too much energy. So maybe not sleep and then you go straight to night duty. And then at 3:30 in the night. So Mr. Sleep is knocking very heavy on the door. But you can't fall asleep because the master is inside and you're supposed to. So So I was experimenting so much with this. If you sit, then you just fall asleep. So then I had to stand up. And then even standing up, you start collapsing, and then walking was next. And then even that was difficult. Even when you were walking, you could next step. When it's really tired. So then I start experimenting so much with movement and breathing. That's where I learned a lot. Then I could wake myself up. Just by breathing and doing movements. Because through doing deep breathing, then the whole energy starts waking up again. You get more oxygen in the blood. So this was very good, sleepless nights, because many techniques came. And not that I wanted to practice, but out of necessity, I had to. And this is the best, because then you really see what works. And then it lasts 1 hour, you sit very alert, and then again you do something. And I could keep it going like that. So this is something to remember when you get tired. You have to wake up again. Not that Prabhupada needs it. No, you can go to bed soon. But it was very interesting to do, because then you're not the slave of even sleep or hunger. You break the whole thing. So sometimes it's needed, but it's more. If you don't need, then you don't need. It's a little yogi way. And I'm not so much like that anymore, because you get very lazy. No, it's like when sleep is coming, sleep is coming. And you enjoy. If it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or if it's 12 o'clock in the night, you enjoy. But if you have to work, if your life situation is, then it's better to breathe. You find silence through many, many different doors. But it's important, and you're a happy spirit. Most of it, you are happy. That's good, but this happiness just gives it even more depth when you become friends with sadness. Then you don't get identified with happiness. Then you go beyond both. And that's what's knocking on the door. And when you get friends with Mrs. Sadness, and she's a wise woman, Mrs. Sadness. And you're also a wise woman, but little happy wise woman. No, you meet Mrs. Sadness. And then she teaches you what she wants to teach you. And sadness goes very deep, deeper than happiness. So you teach very deep, you learn very deep secrets. And much compassion and humanness and understanding comes by listening to sadness. Then you appreciate so much and so much understanding. And in this understanding of deep seeing, acknowledgement, understanding how everything has been happening, then many times this deep sadness coming up. Because now you see, now you understand. And in that understanding and sadness is also forgiveness for yourself, for everything. And that's the healing. And in understanding and forgiveness, then you go beyond. Beyond happy and sad. And that's freedom. Then it's not happiness, then it's ananda, bliss. In the West, they don't have a word for this. It's happiness and joy, and then bliss comes close, but this is just gratefulness, happy, content, understanding. I know this because I also very happy spirit and Mrs. Sadness, I was a little resisting when she was knocking on the door. But then, what to do? Because she doesn't go away. When she wants to teach you something, she comes. And then you let her in. And however long she wants to visit, you stay with her. So you just allow, and it's very quick. Then it gives a depth to the happiness. Otherwise, people, they're more like this. I know it's the right time. You had a long life, learned a lot of things. Ups and downs, mothers, relationships. No. You settle in that. Freedom, consciousness, love, understanding. So welcome it. This is food. It's food for the heart. Only when you fight, then it becomes suffering and complaining. Instead of wisdom and understanding happens, then complaining is happening. That's when people resist. But everything is a gift if you see it the right way. You're doing good. So when are you finished with this? Now, 1.5 years you've been working on it. How, when is it finished?
It's gonna finish. I'm just waiting.
Don't wait. With sadness, no, you think some things you just wait for. But some things in the outside world, you don't wait. If you want finish something, then you're finished. So why are you waiting if you know it's gonna finish? You understand? It's different laws. So with that, you can step into action. Otherwise, it gets dragged out. And you have so happy energy, you should allow that. And this is just, in one way, you are running and dancing with the butterflies, and on the other way, you are keeping your foot on the brake. Let go. It's different laws. Things that are happening is coming from the inside. You can't do, you just allow it. But things outside that you know it's finished, you have changed. And this comes many times. Things, situations are changed and you're not like you were before. Then it's good to just allow it. You don't need to unwind it too long. Look at it now when you're in a good space. What can you do to finish it quick? Like when you walk long journey with a big backpack. And at last you come to your house, trekking long time through the forest. Then you don't wait to take down your backpack. Because it helped you all the way and you had nice food and your sleeping bag. No, you finished. That chapter is finished. Then you, you just throw it. You forget it. You finished, it did its job. You just want to sit down in your sofa. You don't take it slowly, Tai Chi style. No, you just take it off. So this is a little bit what's happening. You don't need to go Tai Chi style. And then that decision, it makes you clarity. And it focuses your energy. And like this, then things happen much quicker. Otherwise, you also drag out this message that sadness wants to give you.